It feels like they made this show specifically for one man. Hello and welcome to Love It or Weep It, where we let you know if we love an anime enough to recommend it to everyone or if it's just for the worst of the weeps. I'm Annie, and I think that the best mecha anime is Gurren Lagann.
I'm Jeff, and I think the best mecha anime is Gundam Build Fighters. If you're new to the podcast, each week we watch the first three episodes of a new anime and cast our votes to love it or weep it. If we don't like the show, we stop watching and weep it to its own devices. But if we love it, we commit to do a full review of the show once it's complete. Today we're sampling the first three episodes of Listeners, which is available subbed on Funimation and Hulu. Before we get into that, though, I wanted to check in on what other anime we've been watching, and also some news about the current state of anime production as it stands in this global health pandemic. I don't have any news about new shows that have been announced as delayed that are on our radar, but we did hear this past week about several shows that have wrapped their production. So we at least know that My Next Life as a Villainess and Sing Yesterday for Me supposedly finished their production and should be airing as initially intended for the rest of the season.
Yay.
That's good news. I'm a little bit worried about getting hopes too high that, like, you know, they quote-unquote finish production, but there could be some other aspect that gets things delayed.
Oh, boy.
That definitely seems like it's still a possibility, maybe. But hopefully they finish airing as scheduled. Also, apparently, BNA, which we won't get to watch for a while anyway because it's in Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
But also Tower of God. Both of those series, supposedly, like, individual animators that have worked on it have mentioned on Twitter that they have completed their portions of the show. So, like, maybe they're completed. We don't really know.
Who knows?
Yeah. Have you been watching any other anime?
Any other anime, just My Next Life as a Villainess. It's keeping me alive.
So you saw the latest episode with more Maria content?
Mm-hmm, with all that good Maria content.
It was good Maria content, but, like, there's not enough serious dick for me.
Okay, we save this for later.
I finally got around to watching A3 after I came back, and also today's another episode of A3, so there are two new episodes. And I was worried that, like, after 3 months, I would forget who everyone was and be like, I'm so lost. But that fourth episode just, like, brought me right back in.
Yeah.
There was some good Itaru content. The gamer, he's the best. Still the best. Yeah, I'm really excited for it.
Yay. I'm glad it's back.
Also, Nozaki-kun got added to Netflix. So
thank God.
People are talking about it. And I rewatched the first two episodes of it. It doesn't start off that great.
Excuse me?
It takes time to build up, I feel.
Well, you have to get to know and love every character.
Right, like, it starts off with, like, so few characters. Like, Mikurin isn't even there for the first episode. And I was like, where's Best Boy?
Oh my God.
Do you think he's not Best Boy?
He's pretty good, but I think... I don't know. I think, you know what? Maybe he is Best Boy.
And there are only, like, three boys, so.
Yes. Everyone's so good, though. What's the girl's name who's so handsome?
Right. Like, he's paired with her, right? I don't remember his name or her name.
Fuck.
So much for world's number one Nozaki-kun fan.
Kashima? Kashima
and Japanese,
Hori?
Sure.
Yeah, that sounds right to me.
Are you looking them up or just guessing?
Yes, I'm looking them up. But I just, like, saw a list and I saw the names and I was like, I think Kashima is the girl and mm-hmm. Hori is her senpai in the drama club. And yeah. They're my favorite. Their relationship's great.
Mikurin's better.
No, he's fine. Anyways.
All right, so this week we are watching Listeners, which is a show. So it's an original story. It's not based on any other existing property, like a manga or light novel or anything, which had me intrigued because the number of original series these days is fairly limited and usually implies that there's some interesting creative spark behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I was interested because it is from Studio MAPPA, which has a pretty good track record. I've loved a bunch of their series, like Kids on the Slope, Rage of Bahamut, Yuri on Ice, and Sarazanmai.
Yeah,
are some of my favorites. They don't have, like, a perfect track record. That they've done series that aren't good, so it's not like everything they work on is gold. But I feel like more often than not, things they work on are pretty good.
Mm.
And this series, the original concept comes from Dai Sato and Jin. Dai Sato is the writer of Eureka 7, and Jin is a musician and original writer of Makaku City Actors. Those are both series that I have heard people talk about. I think Eureka 7 more so than Makaku City Actors, but I've heard about both of them and never been interested enough to watch them, so they're totally in my blind spot. But, like, there is some famous pedigree behind the series, and, yeah, I don't know.
Well,
there are some somewhat famous people behind the show. That's about all I knew going into it.
Some people worked really hard.
So what's it about?
Okay, so it seems like it's in a post-apocalyptic world, and there's, like, these creatures called Earless, who just attack people, and the only people who can fight them are called players, and they have a like an auxiliary port in their bodies. And when you plug in the like a cord into the auxiliary port, they transform amps into mechs and they fight the earless. And this is stories about this boy, Echo, who works in a junkyard and then finds this girl who turns out to be a player. He finds her in the junkyard and then names her Mew or Mew or whatever. Mew. Mew. And then they fight the earless together, I guess. And that's the story.
That's how we met, right?
Yeah. You found me in the trash.
And then we started to fight anime together.
Okay. So we don't sound too excited.
Before we jump into our impressions, though, I just want to say that like there aren't really any major plot twisty events in these first two episodes for us to spoil. So we're going to be discussing these episodes and what happens in them, but like I don't think it's going to really ruin your impression of the show. So
yeah,
so we're not doing a spoiler break for this one.
Cool. So I don't like to use this word because it's used too frequently nowadays. But
is it my anime list?
No, but this is the most mid show I've ever seen in my life. It's just so. Like, it was almost there. Like, on paper, it's got a really cool concept of, music battling mechs, which sounds cool. And, like, if executed well, it could have been awesome and a lot of fun. But this was just not that fun or interesting. I just was kind of bored.
Wow. I can't believe you said that. This is the best series I've ever watched.
Nope.
It is literally music to my ears. They are so it good.
No. Nope.
They fight flashy.
Jeff, how you okay?
You like not.
Jeff, you good?
I totally agree. Like, the concept of music theme battles, first of all, it's not like wholly original to this. There are a couple different mecha series that are based around music and I guess like idols like Symphogear and Macross series, apparently, which I have not really seen much of either of them, but supposedly they're known for that and they seem to do a pretty good job of that, what I've heard. And I don't know, this just like surprised me, or I mean, underwhelmed me, because even though it's like, I feel like the way that it is, quote unquote, about music while being a mecha battle show is so surface level. Like, it's just basic, bland window dressing. Mm-hmm. Like, the way that it's about music is like some imagery of amps and plugging in stereo cables into amps, into her butt. But aside from that, it's just like, oh, they throw in these terms like player and earless and these like, you know, like proper nouns that are named based on music terminology. But is it like, it's not like they're actually using music in battle very much.
Correct.
I mean, they are like, one thing I do think is pretty cool is that I don't think this is really evident until the third episode. Like, when the first two episodes when they were battling was kind of just random mecha battling that seemed kind of like Deus Ex Machina, like things are just happening because they were just using special moves out of the blue. But in the third episode, when they started battling, like the main character Echo was basically like adjusting knobs on the amp as they fought in a way that seemed like, I don't want to say it's plausible, but it felt like there was some like realistic feedback. Like he was doing something with music knobs that was controlling the mech that felt kind of cool.
Yeah.
But even that is like, that's not really music.
Barely.
That's just turning knobs. Like,
yeah. That was actually a really big disappointment, is the fact that the overall music for the series just wasn't very impactful. And you'd think something that was like, the whole concept is like music, you'd think there'd be more like musical sound effects when they're fighting, and every now and then there's like an amp sound, but I'm just like, hello.
Yeah, I was extremely underwhelmed by the music in general. Like, I was reflecting afterwards and I was like, was there any interesting music?
No, there wasn't.
Like, aside from the amp sounds, I was like,
they didn't utilize the concept that they had constructed. It was just vague. Yeah, like what you said earlier, it was just like, it's just like, here is an amp that you plug into, and that's the whole, that's as far as we're taking this.
So I did look into, I was curious what people have been saying and people who are, what people like about this show. So Anime News Network's daily streaming reviews has, you know, like they do like weekly episode reviews of various shows, and I read the roundup of the review on episodes 1, 2, and 3. And there are tons of music references that just like flew over my head, and not in a like, I wish I caught them. It's like, I just don't care. Like they're referencing like an era of classic rock that I just don't really care much about. Mm. And apparently that was kind of the case too with the sound atmosphere of the show too. Like the amp sounds and the music, like apparently that is hearkening to that era of music. And so, at least according to this one review from the Anime News Network streaming reviews, like that reviewer found it actually the music very compelling and it could fit the tone really well. And like, I was just like, not for me, man, I guess. Like, it just wasn't the kind of music that I found exciting.
Yeah. It just, okay, so you remember, you watched Carol on Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
And did you watch Given?
Just the first two episodes. I keep meaning to go back to it.
All right. That time. Well, either way, they were both like out around the same time in the US. And they both had song titles as like their episode descriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of was like, oh, is listeners going to do the same thing? And like Live Forever is like a rock song, which is like the first, like that's the first episode name. Mm-hmm. And then the second episode is named Half Man. And I was like, is that a song? Like they're not, if it is, it's like, I just don't know it.
I think it's referencing some like obscure to us, some kind of like German subgenre of music or something.
Yeah, I guess. Cause like the fourth episode, it said like in the preview at the end of the third one was called Teen Spirit. And I was like, okay, that's clearly like a reference to Smells Like Teen Spirit. Mm-hmm. But I was like, pick a theme. I think Given like did mostly like not classic rock, but maybe they had like a theme for like each episode title. And Carol on Tuesday, I think was kind of over the place, but just like kind of pick something and go with it. Like, I don't get it.
I think they're going for more, I think that was supposed to be like theme based on the witch trio, the Dada witch trio, and I guess they are based on some German thing. I don't know.
I just looked up their names, and yeah, their names are Einstur Zend, and like those are each of their first names, and their last names are all the same, so like Neubauten or whatever. And that's just somebody's name. Someone's name is Einstur Zend, like Zende or whatever, Neubauten, and like they're an experimental, or it's like the name of an experimental German music group. It's like, come on.
So like, I think that fits though, like if these quote-unquote players in the world are not also speaking from the same genre, that like,
yeah,
there'd be some more obscure ones and whatever.
That actually makes a lot more sense with the end of episode three, where they're just where that lady Billin Valentine or whatever, she was like, hey, you have to go to all these different parts of the world and find out about Jimmy Stonefree, which is a hysterical name. And I was like, okay, so are we just going to go find out all the music genres in the world? We're going to go to like the country, I guess, and then like the rock country and the electronic music country.
I guess so. And that sounds like a cool concept.
Yeah, but like I was so bored in these first three episodes. Did they really think I was going to stick around?
So going back to Carol on Tuesday, the thing that, so all the musical references in the show, first of all, I'm going to link in the show notes to this tweet thread from the Annie Playlist Twitter account, which is a Twitter account that I think mainly just posts when anime songs are available on streaming platforms like Spotify. But I guess because they care so much about anime music and music in general, they have been like posting like references that are in the show and what the original sources are and stuff. And it's like, it's all stuff that I see. I'm like, I don't care. Like, it's just whatever. But anyway, in case you're curious about them, I'll have a link to that thread.
Mm.
But I feel like Carol on Tuesday did a much better job of that. Like,
yes,
those references, maybe just because I'm basic, but like they felt much more obvious and like meaningful. Like these just feel like, oh man, the bar in his hometown is a reference to this like famous bar in, somewhat relevant to musical history or something. But like, at least in Carol on Tuesday, it was like supposed to be, you know, like an altered version of our reality. So it was like more meaningful. Like here, it's just random references that don't have the same meaning in universe. So it's just like, oh, cool. A sign in the background that means something. I guess if I were a fan of this kind of stuff, then I'm seeing those, I would be fangirling or whatever, but
maybe we're just not like the audience, because it feels like a lot of like 80s music is because like what was it, the guy who was the engineer with that lady Billin Valentine or Birin Valentine, his name was Kevin, and Kevin Valentine like is like a musician, or he's like a drummer, I think, from the 80s. I don't know, my 80s band knowledge is very lacking, but it's just like these are references I just don't know. I'm a child. But like again, like the Given song titles or episode titles were like Creep, Time Is Running Out, Wonderwall, The Reason. Like, those are things that people know.
Well, okay, like, I think another point of comparison that I think is interesting, because I mentioned other MAPPA shows I really enjoyed, and Kids on the Slope is a show that's all about jazz, which I know nothing about, mm-hmm. and most of the, I think also in that show, the episode titles were based on famous jazz songs or albums or whatever, and that show had tons of references to jazz culture that I had no idea about, but I still mm-hmm. enjoyed the show. Like, oh. that was there as, like, an extra nice-to-have benefit, that yeah. the show was still very, very easy to engage with and felt very accessible on an emotional level without knowing or caring about those musical references.
Yeah.
And this feels like it's, like, kind of the main thing there.
Oh, you know what? Another show that makes this point kind of just not work, that I just don't know 80s music, I guess, is JoJo's. Because it's, like, all references that I did get, and it's like 80s music and then 90s music and then 2000s music eventually, but like those were fine, and also the story was fun, so like I got into that, and it like the references were secondary, and this felt like it was kind of, listeners feels like it's trying to like just throw in references just for the sake of having them and not to do anything.
Right.
But I did love those sisters. They were cute.
Yeah, they did. I really like their design. Mm-hmm. I found once they started talking, I was like, okay, everything they say is gibberish and frustrating, but they had very cool designs. And then also from reading that Anime News Network streaming review, the author of that article mentioned that it was just, they looked like they were out of Nier Automata. And I was like, oh yeah, that's why I like them. Oh my God,
yeah, I was going to say that. I was like, who are these Nier ripoff characters that I love?
Also the earless. So another thing I found frustrating about the show is that like, the designs, I haven't found anything appealing about the designs aside from that trio of the witch sisters. Mm-hmm. Like, the earless that they've been fighting, the, like, generic monster blobs they've been fighting look very yes. bland. The, mm-hmm. also their main mecha, I don't know if they have a name for it, but whatever, like, Echo Amuse mecha thing just looks ugly.
Oh yeah, wasn't it like AC-30 or something?
Sure, if you say so.
I think that's what they named it.
Every child has their favorite AC-30, totally.
Well, I think... I think it's a kind of, because it like they had a, it was like a, what is it, Vox amp?
Oh yeah, it's a kind
and
of,
I feel
yeah.
like AC-30 is like a kind, it's like a, some, it has something to do with amps. I'm really bad with music. This is embarrassing.
Well, like, okay, yeah. We are showing ourselves to being completely ignorant about the
I'm so
like,
ignorant
musical background for the show, but also like the show should be fun and accessible even if you don't know those things. So.
Somebody who likes 80s rock and amps, like,
and amps.
Teach
we need
me.
An amp expert.
Yeah, it feels like you will with this show. They need you to know in the ins and outs. But yeah, you're right. Everything's ugly. Nobody's outfit besides those sisters is cute. I'm sorry. Echo's outfit is hideous. I'm so sorry. Mew's outfit is fine, but those shorts, girl. What are you doing? I also am really put off by the chain around her neck.
Yeah, I was assuming that I was like, okay, after a couple scenes, I'll cut that off. But no, it's still there.
Nope, it's still there. And it's upsetting. But, oh, you know actually who my favorite character was? It was Echo's sister.
I was wondering, like, is she actually his sister or just, like, some lady that took him in? Because he didn't seem to, like, mind leaving her forever.
Well, he just did it in a hurry. I feel like, well, regardless if that's his actual sister, she seemed to have raised him from like the flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay, yeah, I forgot how young he was in those flashbacks.
Little baby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the show just wasn't fun. The music was lacking. That's my summary of it. Great. Did you? What'd you think of the opening?
The opening is pretty good, I guess.
Was it?
Like, it didn't really stand out to me as like, oh my god, this song is so good, I want to listen to it again.
Yeah. It's not, like, why wasn't this, like, the hypest shit I've ever heard?
Do you want to know my favorite part of the show?
Yes.
Like, hands down, my favorite part of the show is the way the text transitions during the opening. Like, the little text effects that show the title cards of the, like, the staff.
Mm-hmm. That was cool.
It's, like, the most minor thing, but the one thing about the show that actually felt neat and original.
Yeah. I honestly... A lot of it, like the animation in the opening, I was like, this looks pretty cool, actually. And some of the animation, mm-hmm. like in the show, actually, I was like, this looks great. I wish there was some substance behind it because I do visually like how everything's moving, but it just wasn't there.
Well, I feel like there's a stark contrast between, so basically behind the scenes, how we like do Twitter or whatever, like I put out the tweet asking for questions for us to talk about on the show,
mm-hmm.
After I watched episode one. And usually what I try to do is like in the course of watching episode one, find a moment that is gif-able to post on that tweet. And mm-hmm. after watching episode one, I was like, nothing here was gif-able. Nothing was dynamic or interesting enough to turn into a gif. The only thing that was like dynamic was like the little fight scene that happens in the end of episode one. Even that, I was like, this mecha is so ugly that if I saw it out of context, I wouldn't find it appealing. So
yeah.
So I was basically like, there's nothing good to make into a gif. And then I watched episode two and saw the opening for the first time. And I was like, oh, wow. These, like, the opening has several of these, like, 1 second or even shorter segments that have, like, really cool animation. And it's like, they're each show so short. But each one of those looks really cool. And I was like, why isn't this in the real show?
Yeah.
Like, why don't the characters look this fun and have this much...
personality.
Yeah, have this much personality in the show itself.
Yeah. I'd much rather just watch the opening than the show. And, like, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
I did appreciate that how every episode has a completely different ending. Like, different music, different
Is it different music every time?
Oh, yeah.
Because I was confused. I found, like, I just searched YouTube for, like, listeners ending song and found, like, an official Funimation video that said it was the ending song. And I'm like, I don't remember this one.
Yeah, that was, so that was the one you linked, Muse, is the first ending, I think, or the... Yeah, where it's like glitching out because like in the episode, like there was like the hallucinations and things were glitching. And then the next ending is called Borders and it's just all visuals from the show that like I honestly was like, this looks way better and more interesting in the ending.
Than when they're in the show itself?
Than when they're in the show itself.
Well, yeah, because it applies a filter on top of them and like...
I just like, I appreciated the effort in those, but it's also like, please put it into the actual show.
Yeah.
But the endings are cool looking. They're cute. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
All right. This anime is just bland. Sorry to everyone if you want to hear something funny.
So it's mid.
It's the most mid. Like, I don't like using that word because, like, there's a lot of, like, people who are just like, oh, this thing's mid and it's... Even though it's like a really good show or like a fine show. But no, like, this one is actually mid. You can say that for this one.
Yeah, like... This is one of the most conflicted I've been about whether I want to continue watching.
No.
And, like, there are so many shows from last season that I wanted to continue watching and didn't get around to because I didn't have time that, like, this is probably going to fall off my personal cliff.
100% falling off. I do not want to watch anymore. I'm so sorry to this show.
I just feel bad because I feel like we haven't seen the full potential of it. Like, I feel like it's going to, like,
pick
from
up.
The opening song, we see, like, a preview of some of the other, like, players we're going to meet and the different genres and stuff. And it's like, those look much cooler than what we've seen in the first three episodes. So, like, I feel somewhat confident that the show is going to get more interesting. But also, like, I still think it's not going to be my wheelhouse. I still think it's going to be references I don't care about and, like, a story that we haven't even talked about this, like, the overarching story.
Oh, right? Okay.
You mentioned that they have to go around to like learn from these other people to find about Jimmy Stonefree, but like the actual plot reasoning for that is kind of just like gobbledygook nonsense. Yeah. I feel
it was straight up the reason. So Mew doesn't have any memories of who she was before she got found in the junkyard. And then they run into those three sisters and then they cause a ruckus and then they get saved by Bidden Valentine. And she's like, I'm just investigating because you have the power of like Jimmy Stonefree who betrayed us forever ago. Again, this name. And it's a bad name. And and then she's like, okay, we'll let you go on one condition. And then Mew's like, what is it? And then she's like, you have to go talk to all of these people all over the world and find out about Jimmy. And then Echo and Mew are just like, sure. And I'm like, wait, that's all you needed was someone to tell you to like vaguely go around the world with no... She gives them no instructions. She just vaguely says there's other players. Go find them with no starting point. And they just fly off into the sky. And I was like, excuse me, ask for directions.
I don't know how much it will factor into the show overall, but like in the first episode, I was really frustrated with the way the world was laid out, that it was like, they're in this town where there's basically like, there's no creativity. Like, it's just, we clean up trash. That's what we've been doing for decades. Like, that's what we're happy doing. And the mayor is annoyed at the main character for like talking about players because he's like, we don't have players here. Like, we're safe and like, we don't want that kind of nonsense. But then when they get attacked by the earless anyway, Echo, like, you know, whatever, plugs into Mew and they defend the town. And then suddenly the mayor is like, how dare you idiots do this? But also, like, the only thing this town has is this monument that you saved. Thank goodness you saved it. And it's like, okay, so I guess they did a good thing. And then the monument falls over onto the mayor. And they're just like, oh, gotta go. Oh, gotta go. And I'm like, what is the tone? Like, what? Like, I felt like for a moment there, it was going for this interesting dichotomy between, like, playing it safe and, like, making a living without. Because, like, so his, Echo's whole thing is that he, like, strives to one day, like, meet a player or become a player. Or I don't really understand if, like, players are these, like, magically distinct entities. Because, like, Mew has stereo ports on her body. Yes. And Echo talks about wanting to be a player. And I'm like, how do you get the ports? Like, is she magic? Or is it, like, a human can become that? I don't understand. But anyway, I feel like it was going with this interesting thing about creativity and, like, playing it safe versus making risks or taking risks and, like, being willing to let yourself fail. And, like, this town that's like, no, we don't take risks. You're not allowed to take risks here. And Echo being like, I'm out of place here. I want to, you know, explore the world and, like, learn about taking risks and stuff. Instead, it's just like, I don't know. We let the monument fall on the mayor. Ha ha ha. Let's run away. Oh no. Did he die? Who cares? I don't know. Maybe.
The story makes no sense. They're like,
yeah.
It just feels vaguely like they're pulling things along. And can I, I'm so annoyed by all of these names references because they're like, okay, so the characters we haven't met yet is like Sally Simpson, which is just a The Who song.
Oh, on that note, like, I was really confused when who's the woman that saves them?
Beauty and Valentine.
Okay,
which
first
I feel
of all,
like is Billy.
Oh, I thought it was just villain.
Oh, no, it's with a B sound. So I was like, is I referencing Billy Valentine?
Oh, I was thinking like it's with a B sound because like in Japanese, it's not as easy to make a V sound.
Well, they
so
say thought, Valentine.
Like, oh,
Beauty and Valentine.
Directly next to it. You're right.
Bill and Valentine. Kind of. I'm just like, I'm sure they're referencing Billy Valentine probably. Right. And then Kevin Valentine, also a musician. Wait, okay. So, and then there's someone named Tommy Walker.
Oh, no, yeah, like, so, Billin Valentine, whatever her name is, she refers to Mew as Chelsea Girl. And I was like,
yes,
what is this
what
reference?
The fuck
and
is that?
And it's like, there's a song called Chelsea Girl, and I'm like, okay, so this means nothing, it's just a name being thrown out.
Okay, you know what? So, it's not only, like, they were talking about the, like, the Dada, those, like, the sisters talking about the Dada thing, and I was like, are we talking about, like, the Dada art movement? And
I think they are talking about that.
Yeah, and I was like, can we pick, like, music, art, like, what is happening in this show? I'm so frustrated, and if Chelsea Girl is, like, a reference to, like, an art thing, because, like, I think that was like an Andy Warhol like film or something, and like I was like, surely that's not it because this is about music, but like it just doesn't make any sense. They're just throwing out references for no reason. I'm so angry actually now.
Oh, I see. So yeah, the first thing I thought when I looked at Chelsea Girl was a 1967 album recorded by Nico.
Nobody knows what that is, but
it's also a 1966 film by Andy Warhol. Also, it's a song like there are five different Chelsea Girl musical references.
Jesus.
And I just don't know why or care.
It feels like they made this show specifically for one man who had like saw these references.
Yeah, that is the thing. Like, knowing that the original concept, like half the original concept, is a musician who it just makes so much sense. It just seems so obvious that it's like someone who is a fan of all these things and likes all these bands and artists and concepts and genres. And was just like, let me just throw all these proper nouns into the property I'm working on.
Yeah, like.
I also, something I find really frustrating is that, like, there were all these lines. The one that really stands out is that, like, quote, like, maybe married couple of the Oh, they had the same last name, so I guess they're married, yeah. Bill and Valentine and Kevin Valentine. Mm-hmm. Like, they say song lyrics to each other in these moments that are supposed to be really cool. Like, and they're just English song lyrics. I forget what they were. But it was these, like, supposed to be these really cool dramatic moments. And to us, it's just like,
oh, it was so painful.
You're saying awkward English. Like,
It was so painful. It was like, I can see it, but I can't feel it. And I was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know if that's actually a lyric or if that's just English that's supposed to sound cool to a Japanese audience and to an English audience. It's just like,
it's definitely a song. Oh my god. Okay, so if you type it in, it's a song by My Bloody Valentine. So great. Like, and then Feed Me With Your Kiss is also another thing she says. It's another song by My Bloody Valentine. And, like, I get it. Your last name is Valentine. Like, what's up? Can somebody please, like, end this for me? Oh, you know what? I was wrong about the origin of the names. The members of My Bloody Valentine, I'm such a fool. One of them's name is Kevin Shields, so Kevin Valentine. And one's Belinda. So wow. Belin.
This is so interesting and adds so much insight into the show and adds so many layers of meaning that I did not get from watching it. Wow. I feel like this is now a good show. Good show. Love it.
This is just reference roundup the show, and I'm furious because, like, Jimmy Stonefree is a terrible name, and it's just the Jimi Hendrix song Stonefree.
What? So,
like, shut up. Like, can you just, like, name him, like, Jimi Hendrix at this point? Because I'm sorry to the people who worked really hard on this show. I'm sure it took a lot of time, and you spent a lot of time looking up all these references, but it's just not good.
Did you know that Jin, the musician behind this show, also apparently, what is their actual like role in this series? Apparently did the story for a manga called Nirvana.
Jesus. This man is on a mission to just reference all of the old music. Oh my god. Okay, I looked up this Jin character. He was born in 1990.
He's my age.
Excuse me, sir.
I mean, you can be a fan of an older genre than you were alive for. That's fair.
I guess, but like,
that makes it come better, on, my dude. Because I feel like there's a certain tone deafness.
At least it's not like an old man.
Right. If it's an old man who's like, everyone gets this, right? No one's younger than me. No one like likes newer music. Like, at least if it's a younger person, it's like they've intentionally sought out an older genre.
Yeah. Wow. I'm over it. I'm weeping this right now. I'm done talking about this. There's nothing else, except for one thing. I also hate everyone's eyebrows, especially on the girls. They're so small.
I did not notice the eyebrows.
Little baby eyebrows. I don't care for those.
The one positive thing I'll sneak in is that, like, I feel like the trope of a, like, girl with amnesia that tags along with a boy is, like, very common and usually is much worse than this and is not nearly as bad as it could have been. Yeah. Like, she has a bunch of personality and spunk and stuff that, like, usually a character like that would not have. But that's, like, a baseline, like, the show was not abhorrent from the start kind of baseline. Although there was that moment or two where, like, there were multiple jokes in a row in the first episode, which there weren't many in the second or third episode, so maybe that was it. But in the first episode when he's, like, he's leaning over her, and she's sleeping, and he, like, sees her stereo
plug on the side.
And is like, oh, this is the hole I read about. And you just, like, the shot that you see is, like, you don't see what he's actually looking at. It just looks like he's looking over a naked girl, and it's like, the hole I learned about. And it's like, great. Gross. This is funny, I guess, if you don't find it very objectionable. And then there's also the moment in that same episode where he's, like, he has his, like, notebook of all the players in his, like, I don't know, in his jumpsuit or something. So he's, like, going to pull it out, but it looks like he's stripping. And he's, like, I need to show you this thing. And she's, like, and then he, like,
I don't like that. Like,
oh, this is his book. And I was, like, okay, great.
It's gross. There was,
making
like, so many.
Uncomfortable for humor. Very funny.
Yeah. It was, like, so much gross, like, sexual undertones and overtones, I guess. Because it was just nasty, and I hated it, and it made me uncomfortable. And, yeah, so I hate this show. No, I don't. Yeah, I do.
Why would you say no, you don't?
Because I don't want to say, like, I hate it, because it's, like, not. It's not Plunderer bad.
Right.
Plunderer made me feel like I wanted to rip my own eyeballs out of my head. This one, I was just kind of bored, and I was, like, maybe on Twitter for parts of it, but
well, I feel like Plunderer is like, this is objectionable on many levels. This is like wrong. It maybe should not even exist. And this is like, it's just not for me. I could see it being very appealing to someone who has different tastes, very specific tastes.
Yes. One man in particular this is for. I'm crying. This is so funny. Just all of the names are just, I'm going to listen to Stonefree now, but like still.
No. Oh, yeah, I'm going to weep it at that.
We're weeping it. We're done. Can we just, like, stop with the musical references in, like, fighting animes? Like, it's already been done. JoJo's has got that cornered. We are done.
This show adds so much more to it because, like, they're Mechs. Called players and they're, like, earless. So, like, music, right? Creativity. Ugh. So, like, maybe those themes that I was talking about from the first episode, they felt really muddled and confusing in the first episode. Maybe those about, like, creativity and finding your own spark in life and whatever, like, maybe those have, like, maybe those connect more if they go around other areas and learn about different genres and different players or something. Maybe. Mm-hmm. But, like, Also, like, so the preview episode 4 was them, like, it was the episode you were talking about, the Teen Spirit episode, and they just, like, oh, wow, they're in a high school, and I was like, we went from this post-apocalyptic world where they were, like, riding a train to go from, like, the next civilization, next town over, or, like, you know, hundreds of miles away, to, like, we're in high school, Teen Spirit, and I was like,
what? Yeah, like, what?
What is the setting? Is this world just whatever they want it to be for the episode? Like, that's what it feels like it's going to be. So I'm both a little intrigued for where it goes and also very much uninterested.
Yeah, I don't care anymore. My attention's going to be on my next life as a villainess for the rest of the season. Also, this isn't out in English, but I've heard that Jolene in JoJo's, her stand is Stone Free is like the name.
Oh, boy.
So we don't need any more Stone Free references. It's been covered. JoJo's has it all. You can't do it anymore.
Okay, so I think that's our final verdict. We love the show. It's good.
No.
Anime, good. It, ear, your
put please stop music having in a stroke. Ear.
Sound good?
Hey, anime. If you just love a bunch of references to music and that's all you care about in this whole world, go ahead and watch Listeners.
I would rather consume the tweet thread with the list of references than watch the show.
Oh my god.
Okay, before we close out the show, Annie, do you want to recommend something non-anime that you actually enjoy?
Oh my gosh, I'm late to the party, but I just started reading Princess Jellyfish, and I enjoy it a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, I watched some of the anime a while ago, but now I'm like reading it, so it's good.
Manga, it's like anime that you can read.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about what you like about it at all? Just,
no.
It's good.
It's good. It's cute. It's cute. And it's about like a very awkward girl. And then she meets a pretty girl. But the pretty girl, guess what? She's not a girl. She's a boy. That's the story. That's wow. It.
I'm so sold.
Hey, it's good. If you don't already know about Princess Jellyfish at this point, go Google it.
How many volumes is it?
Shit. I don't know. I'm on the first one, and it's so long. Princess Jellyfish manga. There are 17 volumes.
Oh, that's a lot. So what do I recommend? I'm going to recommend another TV show plus podcast combination like I did last week. And I'm going to recommend the Parks and Recreation, I don't know what they call it, like reunion special they did that was COVID-19 themed. That I really didn't know much about it going into it. I just like saw Facebook ads for it and I was like, I'm cynical about this, like, but it was surprisingly heartfelt. And the premise of it is that it's like supposed to be set, it's the Parks and Rec characters in modern day going through the COVID-19 pandemic and what they would be doing and how they would be reacting. And it is it's really interesting because they, you know, filmed it under quarantine with everyone separated, and so it does kind of look like they're just doing Zoom calls, but for that format, it was surprisingly well done. And, you know.
Okay. Question though. Mm-hmm. Who is there?
What do you mean?
Like, which characters were in the.
Yes, it has Chris Pratt.
Ugh.
He's there.
And does it have the other bad person?
Yes. His badness is like.
What about the third bad person?
Who's the third bad person?
Okay. Well, we need to clarify who the second bad person was.
I thought you were talking about, like, Double A.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the third bad person?
Rob Lowe.
Oh, is he bad?
Yes.
He's only there for, like, a second, but.
Yeah, that show's kind of been ruined for me. Because it has those three, and Louis C.K. was in it.
Oh.
And just overall, not a fun time to watch that show anymore.
Yeah.
But I do like Amy Poehler.
Yeah. And I would say those three characters are not the focus of it. So
great.
So the podcast I want to recommend alongside it is the, I actually don't know what the feed is called because it's an offshoot of the Good Place official podcast, but it might be the Brooklyn Nine-Nine podcast. I'll have a link in the show notes to the correct podcast feed. But in any case, the Mark Evan Jackson, who is an actor on Good Place and Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which were both showrun by the showrunner of Parks and Rec, did podcast about Good Place and podcast about Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and then also got an episode together to talk about the Parks and Rec reunion episode. So that was a fun look behind the scenes and how they conceived the idea for the episode and how they filmed it and everything. It was a really interesting discussion. So go check those out.
Okay. Sorry we complained for 40 minutes, but go rate us on Apple Podcasts.
If you are also frustrated by listeners, then it's a good time to be thankful that we're thankful that you're a listener of
this
us.
This is horrible.
Go leave a review on Apple Podcasts.
Thanks for listening. You are the one listeners. Damn it, I can't do this.
We may hate the show listeners, but we love you, our listener.
There we go. You nailed it. Hey, if you liked listeners and you think we're dumb pieces of shit for not getting the references, go ahead and tweet at us at Love It or Weep.
The only way we'll know if we're dumb pieces of shit is if you leave a 5-star rating on iTunes. That's the only way we'll know.
That's the only way we know. And if you engage with us on Twitter at Love It or Weep It, or email us at loveitorweepit@gmail.com, like, just tell us that we're wrong and bad and like, sorry, it's my bad. I didn't get the My Bloody Valentine reference. Shit.
What you really need is like a BTS listeners where it's all just BTS references, and then you would.
I would. Be your best, scream, your favorite thing.
Oh, and I'm definitely Jeff on social media. Anywhere, where can people find you?
I'm at any other name on Twitter. Please come yell at me.
And you can only yell at her in BTS lyrics?
If you can yell at me in any lyrics, I'll yell back. Let's go. I'll turn on my location. Find me. Oh, boy. Okay, bye. All right,
bye. And as we always say, I think, therefore, I anime.
Hello and welcome to Love It or Weep It, where we let you know if we love an anime enough to recommend it to everyone or if it's just for the worst of the weeps. I'm Annie, and I think that the best mecha anime is Gurren Lagann. What? What?
I'm Jeff, and I think the best mecha anime is Gundam Build Fighters.
I don't even know what that is because I'm uncultured.
It's a anime about making Gunpla, not actual Gundams. So I don't know what? If it technically counts as mecha. But, like, the gunplay they make come to life and fight, so you know.
Okay, well, mine spawned a meme, so whatever.
I also haven't gotten... So you were mentioning before we started the show that you've only watched 10 episodes of Gurren Lagann, so...
It's been revealed.
I mean, that's better than me. I've only seen 8, so...
Well, it has that line, believe in me who believes in you or whatever. And
that's your hallmark? Maybe a single memorable line.
Hey, it's a good line. I use that all the time. It got really sad. And then I was like, I don't know if I want to be sad. And then I stopped watching.
I also stopped watching right at the sad point, but it wasn't because of that. I was just kind of had already been bored. And then I was like everyone hyped up that moment. And I was like, oh,
we're going to get murdered for Gurren Lagann takes.
The thing is, I kept meaning to go back to Gurren Lagann and finish it. Eventually, like, I kept hearing so many great things. I kept meaning to go back to it. But then Kill la Kill came out, and I was like, I feel like I've seen it. This is a much better version of Gurren Lagann.
It's so, like, much better. Wait, do you think Neon Genesis is better just because of cultural relativity? Should I change my answer?
I do think, if I were comparing Gurren Lagann and Evangelion, definitely I would say Evangelion. Like, I feel like...
Fine. I'm Annie, and I think the best mecha anime is Evangelion.
But you haven't even seen it, right?
You're right. I haven't seen it.
You're just guessing from what people talk about.
Well, it's just because it's so culturally, like, prevalent. Anyways.
I mean, I feel like I would hesitate to use it here because I'm like, it's the basic answer. Everyone would say it.
But yeah.
I was surprised that definitely as a, like, when I watched Evangelion in high school, I was like, oh man, that wasn't that deep, wasn't that good. And then I watched Razaphon is like 100% Evangelion ripoff with like some tweaks. And I was like, Razaphon's better. It's so much better. And now, after, I haven't rewatched Razaphon, but I did rewatch Evangelion, and like, okay, it's not super deep. It's not like it's like, oh my god, it's the smartest thing ever, but it is really good with execution. Like, it just, the way things are directed, it's really well animated, it's really well directed, it's really well, I wouldn't say it's really well written, but it's not like people tout it as being super smart and like educated and so mind-blowing. It's like, it's just gobbledygook. Like, that's not the appealing part of the writing.
I think anyway. The appealing part of the show is that the opening slaps.
That's probably like the most dissonant part of the show, that like, it's this like, it's definitely not a, oh my god, let's go fight, oh my god, rah-rah, this is so fun kind of show, but the opening is 100% that.
It's a bop.
I'll skip over a sentence of a bookworm because I feel like I've already been like, also I'm watching blank, and also I'm watching blank.
Okay.
But it's good, you should watch it.
All right. Is it good?
I've only seen one episode, but the premise was interesting.
All right, fine. Another isekai, right? Or no?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It's very similar to My Next Life as a Bonus, but kind of. Anyway.
Okay, right, bye.
And as we always say, I think, therefore anime. That came Jesus. Really bad. I think, therefore anime. I think, therefore anime.
Sure.
Where should the pause be?
I think, therefore anime.
I think, therefore anime.
That's good.
I also want to try, I think, therefore I anime. I think we're supposed to put with an I in there. Like,
sure.
Yeah. I think, therefore I anime. One of those might be usable.
Nope. But nope. Sure.
They're all terrible.
Okay. Go lay down.
All right.
Feel better. Drink more water.
I drank too much water already.
No, drink more. You have to pee every 30 minutes or it's not working.
Is that an actual guideline?
No, that's too much. Oh, okay. Once an hour, though.
That's still too much. All right. Yeah,
that's probably still much. Bye.
Bye. I hope the bees don't come back.
Me too.
Did they leave?
Yeah, they did, like an hour later.
Why were they there?
That's what bees do when they're looking for a new place to make a hive. So they left their old one and they all emptied out and were just swarming, waiting for everybody to get out of the hive and to get the queen and whatever.
Did you hear about how honeybees fight back against the giant hornets?
Oh yeah, they like swarm them and like cook them alive.
by just making the air a little bit hotter.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
Oh, good thing I have honeybees around me to fight the murder hornets.
I hate America right now.
I hate this timeline. It's bad.